dedicated to trots racing. On Winners, welcome to Gate Speed.
Another edition of Gate Speed for this week as we review all of the weekend's action. And joining us are Blake Redden and Cody Winnell. How are you, boys?
Yeah, good, Duds. Really excited to talk trots again. We've had probably a down week to some degree. We've got through the end of the season. We've got a few less meetings than usual, but in saying that, the wheel never stops turning.
And Cody, you're also there?
I am, yes, Nards. Blake was just explaining, obviously, we've come off the Breeders' Crown a couple of weeks back, and then we get that that week where it just sort of, everything else that's been put off sort of comes at you. So, you know,
it's true.
There's still plenty happening, but yeah, this weekend's racing, just got the fields out now, and looking forward to this show.
Okay, well, let's talk a little bit about some of the things that we have learnt over the past week, and age shall not weary them. The greybeards dominated the Metro Card.
Yeah, that was certainly the case at Melton. If you're looking for a story to come from the night on Saturday night at Tabcorp Park, it was the older horses just getting the job done. Of course, probably aided by the fact that it had just changed season and a lot of them had gotten 1 year older as per time passing. But there was a number of them. Wash Me Pockets, now an 11-year-old, won a claim. A Battle of the Claimer Heat. St. Flash, a 10-year-old, was another winner of the Battle of the Claimer Heat. And the final winner of the Battle of the Claimer Heat, Beach Boy Adios, is a 10-year-old. We had another couple of really seasoned performers. Mr. 1-2 came back and won as an 11-year-old, and even the My Lightning Blue Free For All Flaming Flutter was 8 years old. So, Codes, it's probably quite a sign that, you know, in the trotting game, you can stick around for longer than perhaps in other codes, and these horses are still getting it done at their ripe old ages.
I think it's pretty well known that, Blake, isn't it? The standard breeds, they race more and they can race for longer, and we're seeing that evidence, especially last weekend, as you say, at Melton. And this weekend we've got the Maori's Idle Trotters Free For All as well, and there's you've got, you know, Maori Time, Super Zek. You know, there's some good older horses in that as well. So I think it'll continue to be the case, and you know, it's very different to thoroughbreds, I think, Blake, the standard breeds, and just the longevity of the horses. I mean, having said that, remember Mustard in the gallops back in the
True.
Day. I think he was still winning at 73, but yeah, look, it is pretty well known, a common fact that the standard breeds do race for longer, and yeah, it was the greybeards to the fore last weekend.
Also, Field Marshal beaten but not disgraced in return.
Yeah, he'd had a couple of weeks off, hadn't he? A couple of light weeks heading into that return at Menangle on the weekend. And clearly he's on an inter-dominion path via a Victoria Cup. And look, he was beaten. He was odds on. You don't like to see horses of his quality be beaten. But by the same token, I thought his run was quite sound. He worked to the breeze mid-race. The horse that was on his back, well, it came from mid-pack. Little Rascal was able to get over the top of him very late. But he fought on quite solidly. They beat the rest nicely, and I think it was probably just a good pipe opener heading towards the Victoria Cup. But Codes, I think he's definitely the sleeper in the field heading towards that inter-dominion. He's young, he's got fresh legs, he's sort of come through at a later age, and I quite like the way he's going about it.
Yeah, I love the trajectory with this horse, Blake, and I think you're spot on. I think come summertime he's going to be right at his best, and I was pretty impressed with the run, 51.8 for the mile, and as you say, pipped by the horse who had all the favours and driven an absolute peach by Luke McCarthy, and behind getting over the top very, very late. It was only right on the line that Field Marshal was beaten. So I think onwards and upwards for this horse, and depending on which sort of, you know, which of the stars go which ways over the summer, I think there's some really big wins in store for my Field Marshal.
Also, run one over does job as the Inter's build-up continues.
Yeah, this one wasn't overly exciting, I suppose. It was a smallish field, not a big race in Perth, but in saying that, he was right around the mark last year heading in towards the inter-dominions run one over, and he got the job done again on the weekend. It was almost like a bit of a game to him. He was hopping and skipping at the start. He eventually got into his gear pretty quickly, led and stacked them up, and then sort of halfway up the straight, he looked like he was going to win by 15 or 20 metres, maybe not that much, but by a good space, and he half-stopped, 100 metres to go, and the second horse out, Jimmy Johnston, cut him down to a narrow enough margin, but it was still a good win. He was clearly just playing with them, run one over, and look, I guess what we really want to talk about, Codes, is this inter-dominion market, which is now with TAB. It gives punters an opportunity to get on early, and there seems to be, you know, some good value in that market.
Absolutely. We'll have a look at that. But just the second horse, Blake, I thought our Jimmy Johnston's run was enormous. I actually preferred his run. He got carted right out of the race with a lap and a bit to go. He's come round, sat in the breeze, 26.8 run one over, pinched that brake, and then round the two and had a good margin. But the way our Jimmy Johnson still attacked the line, he's the one that I'd be really following. Nothing against run one over, but I really like the run of the second horse there. The odds for the Inter Dominion, Blake, tab.com.au released those this week. Chicago Bull and Lazarus, equal favourites at $5. Get your reaction on that. But also Lenny the Shark, $10. Field Marshall, we talked about, $14. Ahoka Punter and Tiger Tara, 17 each of two. Our Jimmy Johnston, $21, Blake. And Soho to Rebecca also on that line at $21. A few of note, Major Crocker, I thought 150 to 1. Run one over is 26. And the Orange Agent, Blake, $51.
It is a really interesting market. I'm not sure whether the Orange Agent will be ready in time. That'll be an interesting little battle. San Carlos there at $51. Lazarus has been the one the early money's for, $5 in the 460. So that would probably suggest that there's a good chance Mark Purden's going to bring him over. Obviously, if he turns up, he'd be, you know, a relatively short price favourite. Chicago Bull, I could take him or leave him at this point. I'm not sure he's an equal favourite or now second favourite and clear second favourite for an Inter Dominion. But in saying that, what he's done over there has been pretty spectacular. Lenny the Shark, well, if he turns up, he's clearly going to be competitive. I think the market's close enough to right, but a lot of these horses look over the odds because most of them you'd think would get there, particularly the Lenny the Sharks and the Myfield Marshals. You're pretty much guaranteed to have a runner in the field in the final.
I was somewhat disappointed not to see Amaretto in the market, Blake, because I'd love to see how she'd measure up in an Inter Dominion. I know Mare's winning the Inter Dominion. It's a little bit rare, but it has happened before, going back to Jody's Babe in 89. I know you'd remember that, Blake,
not quite.
Very well.
Wasn't born yet.
Stella Frost in 71, Richmond Lassie the summer of 69, and Robin Dundee nice. In 1965. It has happened before. I'd love to see it happen again.
The problem is she's probably got a free hit at a $150,000 race on the same day if they want to go to Perth. The Mare's Classic looks very winnable for her, so you know, you can take on the $1 million race and maybe run a nice third or fourth, or you can go and win a $150,000 race.
Or you can win the $1 million
True.
Race.
True. No, she could go the way she's going.
Go for the big apples.
True.
Absolutely flying, probably one of the most improved informed horses going around. Look, Jason Lee holds off Zach Phillips in an exciting concession driver's race to the premiership too.
Yeah, I was right into this. We didn't have a lot to get excited about, I guess you'd say, through those premiership races. A lot of them were done and dusted a couple of months out, as we alluded to on the program a couple of weeks ago. But that division was one that created plenty of excitement, and it went right down to the wire. Heading into the final meeting of the season, Zach Phillips had a chance to pinch it via count back, and his first winning driver or winnable chance, Fiery Filcher, went down a nose, which just about sew it up for Jason Lee. So he's had a really good run, obviously. Both had terrific seasons. Jason Lee and Zach Phillips will both become senior drivers now, I believe. And I think it was the third in the row for Jason Lee winning the concession driver's premiership.
Fourth, Blake. Fourth in a row. He won 13, 14, 14, 15, and so forth. 15, 16, 16, 17. And the last driver, Blake, who won it, Brian Gath. Won the concession. No, obviously that's not right. Alan Tormey was the last driver to win a concession driver's
outside of
Jason Lee. That was way back in 12-13 when Jason actually finished fourth, and Jason also came seventh in 2011-12 when he had 26 wins from just 86 drives. So
amazing.
He's had an enormous ascent, a very quick ascent to the top of the pops, and you know, he's one of the absolute household names in the game now, Jason Lee. There's no doubt about it, and that's four concession championships in a row.
They both finished top 10 in the Victorian Premiership as well. So not just dominating that table, they've been very competitive at the absolute elite level.
What about some of the ones below Jason and also Zach? You've got Mark Pitt, Josh Aiken, Jimmy Herbertson, Darby McGuigan, Monty Burnett, Alex Ashwood, Brad Chisholm, and Lisa Bartley rounded out the 10. Some of those guys have been around for a little while now, Blake. So
yeah, I suspect all of the top four will lose their claim this season. Jason Lee, Zach Phillips, Mark Pitt, and Josh Aiken. So it's going to leave a little bit of a gap, I guess, in terms of junior drivers. We've seen Jack Law from Tasmania come across and start to ply his trade here. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw another interstater maybe pop down and try and have a go at it, because there is, you know, a little bit of a hole left there.
Jack Law. Is that Jack Laffer in the four guys? Yeah. Okay, Law is the pronunciation.
Good so call. They tell me.
And also, the off-season shows again why the calendar must change.
I'm big on this. This is one I think we need to push through, because there's been a bit of talking over the last two or three years, but no real action at this point. I've not heard one person come up with a negative to changing the calendar or the season to a calendar year, January through December. Look, we had, you know, we were quite unlucky in many ways on Breeders' Crown Day. It was, you know, one of the worst days that Melton had in a little while with the rain and hail. But, you know, in saying that, when you have it at that time of year, often you're going to get cold days. Vic Bred Super Series is always going to be a cold night, both the Friday and Saturday. And look, I think it's time for change because we've got, you know, 2 months now where we're leading into spring and we've got less horses around and less meetings around. Why not flip that and put that part of the season into winter and then have the good horses coming back through spring and summer and autumn, and then you can have your downtime through the winter, June, July, for example. So, Codes, it's obviously a really complex issue in terms of getting it done and getting all states to agree to it, but for me, I think it's a no-brainer. I think it has to be done at some point.
Well, I think, I mean, I know it's being, it's certainly an option that's being looked at, and I think it will continue to be looked at by the strategists and the powers that be. Blake, just interesting, we do see also a bit of a drop-off in field sizes and you know, number of races on programs in Victoria for this period we're coming into now over the years, September and October, but of course must be noted that we do have those $750 win bonuses attached to all $3,500 and $5,000 races in the next couple of months. So I guess if we analyse that, you know, after these 2 months are over, go back and we see that we've had more races and bigger fields, then I'd say that bonus was a really important move.
Yeah, for sure. But and again, it's probably beating on about it a little bit, but you could always do that in June, July, and have those bonuses on June and July to try and prop the fields up a little bit more. But yeah, to me, I think, you know, everyone needs a break at some stage, and it's you know, probably comes at the wrong time of year to some degree, I would have thought.
And also, guys, of course, what's happened too in the last week is we learned of the injury crowd with Hector JJ, which of course has been a real shock and so much of a shame, heading towards an Inter and also a Vic Cup.
Yeah, well, I think we'll learn more in the next few days surrounding that, but definitely seems like he'll be out of a Victoria Cup and also an Inter-Dominion, unfortunately, Hector JJ. But, look, he's been obviously a top-line horse. We saw the Blacks of Fake win up in Queensland, and, you know, he's proven that he's as good as any horse in Australasia right now. So to see him go out when he's right at his best, Codes, is it's not ideal, but, you know, that's the way it goes sometimes.
No, it's not ideal, and it's not good news for not only the owners, who I know were very disappointed, chatting with Michael Harvey the other day, they were very, very disappointed and shattered about this news, but also with that horse, Blake, just the game in general. It's amazing, isn't it, that people get such an affiliation with a horse, and the fans, they love Hector JJ, and it's, look, the main thing is it's been picked up on. I know this is almost cliche to say this, but it's been picked up on, it's been found. The main thing now is to get that horse well and up and about, and then hopefully back on. He's still young enough to have, you know, to achieve enormous heights going forward. We just need to make sure that he makes a full recovery and the horse is looked after.
What have we got coming up this week, guys?
There's plenty coming up. Nards, we've got the Battle of the Claiming Final, or the Battle of the Claimers Final, Coach, which I think is going to be a really interesting race. Saint Flash was oh so impressive, but I guess to some degree Beach Boy Adios is the horse with the score on the board in that division.
Yeah, well, I mean, Saint Flash is an interesting one. This horse was with Shane Tritton not long ago, Blake, which I think went from Noel Watson to Shane Tritton only temporarily, back to Matthew Sheehan, and now it's of course trained by Kent Harpley. And Kent also has card on Merger in this series, who didn't qualify for the final. There'd be some chance that Kent may lose two horses through this claiming series for being claimed, because that was an enormous win by St. Flash, and looks hard to beat going to the final. But obviously Dean Braun's winner from last week as well, Blake, you know, seems to dominate at this kind of level, Beach Boy Adios.
Yeah, for sure. The Gamma Light's interesting. I think Ideal Success, although obviously the conditions and the race has changed a number of times, will be shooting for its and the first ever back-to-back winner of the race, Ideal Success, from the second row. And it was really good last week. And, Coach, you mentioned that Maori's Idol Trotters free-for-all, that's going to be a cracking race. Maori Time back to the front row. I'm quite interested to see what they do with Maori's favourite son, another one back to the front row. Will they give him his head and let him run and try and find the front in front of Maori Time and then hold her out, or will they do what they've been doing recently and drive him a bit more conservatively?
And where does Clover Mac Blake step sort of rank in the speed duel there early?
Well, Majestic SJ is probably as quick, whether it wants to hand over to Clover Mac. I guess it depends what's happening out wider. I suspect that there's probably only a very small chance that Clover Mac could find the pegs.
There's a horse in that race I struggle to follow because I can never catch it, but it has enormous talent, and that's Super Zek. On his day, he's got so much talent, but I can't catch him. But it is a very, very good field, the Maori's Idol Trot, and I'm looking forward to it for sure.
Yeah, he's got to show us something before we go stepping into him again, I think.
And Blake, I didn't mention earlier, but I should have, the Kerry Ann Turner won the Kerry Ann Turner Pace last week at Menangle too. I thought that was a highlight.
Yeah, no doubt about it. When you can win your own race, you're doing a decent job of it, aren't you, Nards?
You are. That is a pretty good effort. I think everybody strives to win a race named after them, but to actually pull it off is another thing. Guys, a pleasure as always. Thank you.
Thanks, Nads.
This week's edition of Gate Speed, it's 3 to 12.